Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the first of many really good revision history podcasts with me, Mr. Hutchison. The point of these is to help GCSE history students with their revision, in particular for the EdExcel GCSE exam. However, you know, if you're doing any of the history papers, any of the different boards, and you're doing a similar course, then obviously the history is history, so you may find them useful as well. The plan is to do lots of different podcasts, try and keep them really short so you can really focus in on the particular areas that you need, you know, to fill in those gaps in your knowledge. This series is going to focus on the reigns of King Richard and John from 1189 to 1216. And this particular episode is just an introduction, really. So it's going to tell you, you know, who these guys were, what their place in history is, what they're traditionally... how they're traditionally thought of, and really, you know, why are we studying these guys? Who are they? Where do they come from? And why are they the focus of a, you know, a large part of your paper too? So without further ado, here we go.
If you're watching this on the video, you'll be able to see the two kings in front of you. King Richard, indeed, there on the left, showing himself to be quite serious, very regal, and King John there on the right, who seems to be a little bit haggard and possibly a little bit manic. If you listen to this on the podcast, you have to take my word for it. But anyway, here we go. Who were these guys and where did they come from? Well, they were both brothers. First of all, they were both brothers, okay, belonged to the same family, a very turbulent relationship between these guys and indeed with their father. They were directly related to William the Conqueror. In fact, he was their great-grandfather. And that's important to us, folks, because William the Conqueror, although this happens before the start of our course in 1189 when Richard comes to the throne, William conquered England, and he was a Norman. He was from Normandy, which is actually in northern France. And that's worth us remembering, because Richard and John themselves both considered themselves French first and English second. In fact, when William conquers England, there is a class divide. There's a class divide between the French conquerors, who sort of established themselves at the top of society, and the English or Saxon peasantry. Really? Okay, so there's that class divide. In fact, Richard didn't even speak English. He only spoke French. Okay, and that was actually typical of many of the nobility that lived in England at the time. All right, so Richard and John would have been aware of this. They would have been aware of their lineage. They would have been very aware of the history. They'd have known about William the Conqueror. They'd been extremely proud of it. And they would have known that they originated, or their family originated from France. Also worth bearing in mind is their father. Their father was Henry II. Now, he's worth bearing in mind because he was an extremely sort of larger-than-life, bombastic character, extremely powerful, extremely good in battle, very loud, very boisterous, big shoes to fill, folks. Okay, that's what I'm telling you. So a lot of pressure on Rich and John when they come to the throne. When Henry dies in 1189, that loss would have been felt. In fact, Henry was so powerful during his reign that he was actually asked to go and become king of Jerusalem. Okay, that's how well thought of he was throughout Christendom. Okay, the other thing to remember is not just their family, but what England looked like during 1189 when our course starts. England was a very different place in 1189, okay? There was no Scotland, it was not yet part of the kingdom, and northern Wales as well was still holding out, and there were still some Welsh bands fighting for independence. Most importantly, though, was Henry still ruled over his family's lands in France. So actually, it wasn't really England. It was more of an empire. It was the Angevin Empire, okay? And it actually stretched across the whole of England and also incorporated over half of what is modern-day France. They weren't Norman. They were Angevin, okay? Now, they were called the Angevin Kings, and it's called the Angevin Empire because that's the particular area of France that their family came from. Henry's father, so Richard and John's grandfather, was from Arnoux, which is in the centre of France, okay? And so, you know, that that kingdom grows. So that's where they come from. That's why they're called the Angevin Kings. And Rich and John would have been acutely aware of that. All right. So they were the Angevin Kings. You're can also see, if you're watching the video version from the map below, that part of their lands is marked out in pink, and that's because that's the sort of southern part of France, which was part of the Angevin Empire, and that was owned, for want of a better expression, by Eleanor of Aquitaine. Now, Eleanor of Aquitaine was Richard and John's mother. She married Henry II, and when she marries him, those lands sort of get swallowed up into the Angevin Empire. All right, now Eleanor of Aquitaine is a really, really cool character. I wish we had more time to talk about her in our history lessons, but sadly, the focus is very much on her sons. But she was powerful, she was politically astute, she was independent, she was loved by her subjects, and she even went on crusade. So this is a tough woman. Now, I've already talked about Henry II, so you can kind of see, you know, where our two kings, Rich and John, you know, what their parents were like. All right, so they had a very interesting upbringing, and you could argue these guys were destined for greatness, I suppose. So just to recap, the Angevin Empire incorporated England, it incorporated half of France as well, and that's extremely important because the French part of this empire is what they considered home, not England. And that's important to us, folks, because during John's reign, he loses them. And it's absolutely disastrous for his reign when he loses the French lands, because that's their homelands, really. Okay? So, it's also important to remember, of course, that they weren't just Angevin kings, okay? As in, you know, they were from Arnoux, so they were Angevin, in the same way today that if you're from Birmingham, you're considered a Brummie. You might also hear these guys be referred to as Plantagenets, okay? And now, the Plantagenet part of the description refers to their family name. It's their surname, in the same way that you might have, you know, Smith or Jones, Patel, for example, you know, as a surname. These guys were John and Richard Plantagenet. So they were John and Richard Plantagenet from Arnoux, which made them Angevin. So sometimes you'll hear them described as the Angevin Kings. Sometimes you'll hear them described as the Plantagenet Kings. It's the same guys, okay? It just either refers to their family name or to where they came from. Now, if you're watching this on the video, you can see a picture of Richard's statue outside of Parliament in London. If you're listening to this on the podcast, it's Richard astride a war horse, decked out in his armour, lifting his sword triumphantly in the air. Now, folks, this is the traditional image that we have of Richard, all right? This particular statue was built by the Victorians, all right? And that's because they saw Richard as an empire builder. They loved him. They thought he was the ideal king. And that sort of idea was still taught, you know, even when I was at school. Richard the Lionheart, the powerful warrior, the amazing king, one of the best kings England have ever had. And that's kind of the image that traditionally we are taught. So my question to you, and the big question you need to think about as you go through these videos and as you go through the courses, is this accurate? Is Richard the strong, powerful, wonderful, incredible, brave king that we are taught that he was? Or, you know, when we look at the history, is that inaccurate? Okay, and very similar is the depiction of John. Now, if you're watching this on a video, you can see a picture of John now. This is a medieval picture. And if you're listening to it on the podcast, I'm just going to describe it very briefly for you. This doesn't make John look very good at all. All right, he's kind of got his finger lifted towards his chin as if he's thinking, as if he's dithering, like he doesn't really know what he's doing. He's got a crown on, which is sort of slipping off to one side, as if it doesn't really fit him, you know, as if, you know, he's not fit to be a king, I suppose. And again, folks, this is the depiction of King John that is traditionally presented to us. The history sort of, you know, this is how history thinks of him. Think of any of the famous versions of Robin Hood, you know, if you've seen any of the Robin Hood films with King John, you know, and that includes the Disney one, by the way, you know, you will know what I'm talking about. He never comes off well. He's always represented as being a bit of an idiot, very, very greedy, you know, evil, conniving, scheming. He's often regarded as our worst king, guys, okay? That is how he is depicted. So once again, my question to you, and the question you need to think about as we go through the course is this accurate? Is this fair? Is history being fair to John by, you know, depicting him as this awful, awful king? And in the same way, is history being fair to the memory of Richard by depicting him as this really powerful, fantastic king? Okay, guys, look at that, 10 minutes on the spot. We'll call it in there. So hopefully that's given you a sort of overview of who these guys were, where they came from, the dates in which they reigned, and what England looked like when they come to power, when Richard comes to power in 1189. Okay, the next podcast is going to feature, is going to focus on medieval life and how people lived within the feudal system. Hopefully you'll check that one out. Thank you very much, guys, for listening, and we'll see you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.